Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The checkered flag ends the race, but it's only the start of the conversation. Michelin post-race tech on IMSAradio.com. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Michelin post-race tech. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Well, the shortest distance that we cover in an endurance series is 100 minutes. And that was one of the two 100-minute races, both straight circuits, of course, Detroit and here at Long Beach. This is Michelin Post Race Tech. As those of you listening in the UK and Europe, good morning to you now in Europe. It's almost midnight in the UK. Nice to have you company. Jeremy Sean Shea, Adam Steer with us. Jeremy, we did most of the points in our ratio there, but the Sprint Cup Manufacturers Championship in GT Daytona, very, very close indeed as we head into what is the last round of that championship at VIR next time out.
Yeah, super tight there. Aston Martin will still lead. They'll have 23-27 by my reckoning. Second position is still Lexus, but they move much closer now with that third place manufacturer finished today, fourth overall, but third manufacturer, because there were two Porsches finishing second and third. And so Lexus finishing fourth, but will score third place points overall in a championship. That's the way it works. And Lamborghini with the win today, again, Lamborghini's first win of the season. They got 23.02. So 23.27 for Aston Martin, 23.04 for Lexus, 23.02, just 2 point margin, with 350 points up for a win, by the way, for Lamborghini in third place. So all to play for there in the GTD Manufacturer Championship in the Sprint Cup.
The usual questions, I think, coming in. Hashtag Michelin PRT. Most people want a bit more of it, Jeremy, to be honest. Feel that the strategy doesn't quite play out. Matt Kearney says, too short, not enough time for the DPIs in particular to strategize the race. A couple of other people saying, yeah, I quite like the short races. But why can't it be a longer one? It's basically down to the share, isn't it? And the time on the track at an IndyCar weekend.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to. It would be nice to have another 10 minutes, I think, particularly because the way the DPI cars are run these days, they can get remarkable fuel consumption, and they've really eked that out a lot. Mm. Ganassi car came with 52 minutes to go and still made it to the end, which is pretty remarkable, to be honest. I think without that, it would have been. Yeah, would it have changed the course of the race? I don't know, but at least that way they can run flat out rather than saving fuel, which I think is what they were doing right now. In GT classes, however, yes, number 14 car was saving fuel at the end, but that was because they put the minimum amount of fuel in during that pit stop.
Correct.
And at the end of the race, Jack Hawksworth, he only held on ahead of Jeff Westphal in the Audi, the car barn with Peregrine Audi, car number 39. He was only less than 2 seconds ahead of him at the end of the race. So he lost about 10 seconds over those last couple of laps, but it was just enough to hold on to fourth position. So they judged that absolutely perfectly. And Ross Gunn in the Aston was right behind Westphal, but had to settle once again for a sixth place finish. But having once again shown good pace, but unable to get that track position back.
917 Delaney, what a great Twitter hashtag. Says they're great, but they're too short. He's got a smiley face on that. Derek Indra says, I think it's right for the track. I would still like the standard length sprint race at 2 hours 40. But he says, the track, the exigencies of the track here. He understands it. Down through the years, we've played about, not with necessarily the length of this race, but which classes have been there. And that's also down to the layout of the circuit, because it's about how many cars IMSA can actually get in the bit of paddock that's allocated to them, which has never changed all the years that we've been going there.
No, exactly. And to be perfectly honest, this year was about as tight as you could ever possibly had it. When I called Johnny Knotts the other day and asked him how big the pit boxes were, he goes, well, they're a bit bigger than they've been in the past, 24 feet. So then I did some digging, and the average GT length is about 16 feet. So it's not that much playroom when you've got 26 cars in there. Then the other thing that you have to take into account, IMSA allotting a pit box for an actual penalty box for the first time. And I applaud that move, because I've been in the penalty box when people try and come into the trapezoid. That doesn't work. And then you add on top IndyCar with more cars than they've ever had
before.
So their pit lane, when we were watching the video of the IndyCar qualifying, their pit lane extended right to the end of ours.
Absolutely right. The chat about fuel saving, Jeremy, was a point well made. And there's a number of people saying, you know, that down through the years, IndyCar have looked at some of their races for the very same reason, so that they don't just get a fuel save marathon either in the middle or towards the end of the race. I don't know what IMSA could do except say that for this race there's a maximum fuel fill that they can do, or in some way, shape or form.
I mean, over the years they brought down the fuel capacity on the DP on the prototype cars, mainly for this reason. But normally it's normally a kind of a two-stop race here for prototypes. But they're getting so good now with these cars and the drivers and the technicians that they're able to stretch it out more comfortably for longer than they were able to before. So, yeah, maybe there is an argument for the short races to have the fuel tanks blocked off a little bit more. If they had 3 or 4 litres less fuel for this one race only, because I don't like cars pitting every 25, 30 minutes.
No.
Too often.
Yeah, agreed.
And even now it's generally around about 40 minutes. They were able to stretch it to 50 here by judicious use of the right foot.
Yeah,
and probably some electronic means as well. But
they're getting good, aren't they?
I'd much prefer to see a flat-out race. But I mean, look, they're still driving hard. They're not as if they're cruising. They're not cruising around, because it just means if you're lifting off earlier, you're braking a lot later. So you're really pushing the limits of the cars in the same way as you were before. You're just not turning the same sort of lap times quite.
We didn't quite break the race lap record, which was interesting, having not been there for a couple of years. I wondered if we would get a bit closer to it in DPI. Three Cadillacs on the podium in the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Best of the Acuras in what was a distant fourth position, to be very honest. And that's tightened up the battles behind the two leaders in DPI, Jeremy, in terms of the points championship.
Well, it has, yeah. We talked, at the front of the field, Ricky Taylor and Philip Albuquerque, they lead only by 19 points now over today's winners, who are really on a roll. Yeah, they run, three of the last four races and were third in the other one at World Tech Raceway Laguna Seca last time out. Then there's a 170-point gap back to the Mazda team. Oliver Jarvis and Harry Tinkle will remain in third place, but now only 3 points ahead of Renko van der Zander and Kevin Magnussen. So that is getting super tight. A couple of 100 points behind them, Dane Cameron and Ollie Pla, even with the DNF today, which is really unfortunate. They're just 5 points ahead of Tristan Vautier and Loic Duval. And that number five team, Duval and Vautier, they had a fast car today, and they showed it. Unfortunately, they were held up behind the number 10 car. Made that bold start for Albuquerque, cost them hugely.
Yeah.
And they were able to maintain place with the number 31 and the 01 all the way through the race. So, that was Yeah, they came away with the third place, which was earned, you know, well earned by that team. But yeah, clearly the Cadillacs were a class of the field here this weekend.
What do we think about it being at this time of the year and this time of the season? Of course, it's the finale tomorrow for the NTT IndyCar Series, and party as we were to what was going on. I heard both Paul Tracy and Townsend Bell on the NBC commentary saying that they quite liked the difference of having a race on a straight track at the end of the season. I would think Turner Motorsport would have preferred not to have it at this time of the year, Jeremy, because small mistakes here have very big consequences. And when you're close to the end of a season, you don't have time to recover from them.
No, that's true. But the way the points structure is now, it can be made up. They can gain it just as quickly as they lost it. They moved themselves up into contention, and we don't really know what happened yet to Robbie Foley, whether he was pushed or whether he fell, so to speak, at turn eight. That with that incident, we don't know whether there was contact between them. He certainly was a long way off the apex.
He was.
He wasn't what you talked about earlier on, whether at turn eight there where you can they've taken away those kind of markers, track markers on the right-hand side of the track that were away from the wall, so you now can run against the wall. You talked about the propensity of drivers clipping that inside wall and throwing the car into the outside wall. That didn't happen. He just either turned in too late or was pushed a little bit wide in the middle of the corner, and then he ran out of room.
I thought it was interesting, Shea, the note that we got from Turner, and thanks to everybody, as ever, all of the teams and their PRs for making sure we get the information during the broadcast, that BMW doesn't like to turn anyway. So once they'd had the issue, it was just getting worse and worse. But it's the fact that when you've got so many 90-degree corners on a straight track, if it doesn't want to turn anywhere, they're already at a disadvantage. I mean, it didn't look too bad at the start of the race, but clearly, as soon as Robbie had been in the tyres, it was just getting worse and worse. And then they had ABS problems as well, I seem to remember.
And then add on to it that after the incident, they lost some critical downforce from the front of the car and those dive planes that came off. So it just became a more and more difficult car to drive. But clearly when the car was good, it was really good because Foley put it P2 yesterday in qualifying.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. In terms of the sharp end, so we of GTD, we had the Lamborghini, then the two Porsches. Nice little internecine battle between Lawrence Vanto and Patrick Long. They know each other quite well. Good result for Pfaff, Shea.
It's only the second time ever that Pfaff Motorsport has been on the podium and not won the race. The previous time coming at Petit Le Mans, I want to say it was 2019 when they did it and finished third. But yeah, their string of victories, now they've got a second place trophy for the first time in that dealer's history in IMSA.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Now, we head next, lady and gentleman, to VIR for the GT categories. They will have top billing, Jeremy, in the GT event, which I always think is very interesting. And really, again, so close to the end of the season, this is a real opportunity for some more point swing. And you've got to think that Turner have got to be back on form there. And it's a Saturday race, remember, for those of you listening. We'll be talking about that a lot in the lead up to it. Saturday race for the main race.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks' time, too. So, VIR has always been toward the end of the season. And I like the fact that GT cars get their moment in the sun.
Me
there,
too.
Hopefully with the sunshine at the time of year.
Yeah, well, with a bit of luck, sometimes we've been rained out there as well, haven't we? I seem to remember running from an electrical storm once out of one of the accommodations that we had there. Just looking through the rest of the results, Catherine Legg had a decent run in the 88 Porsche, the hardpoint car. Nice run for Gradient again. They seem to be getting their heads around that car, Jeremy, with Till Bechtelsheimer and Mark Miller. And they were the best of the the three Acuras there this weekend, including having Mario Farnbacher in the number 76 car. So I think I don't think they'll be that. I mean, all right, they were still down the finishing order, but best of the Acuras, I think they'd have probably taken that before we started this week.
Yeah, I mean, no, they had the other street race in Detroit, which wasn't around the overall championship, it was a sprint cup round. They finished third there, so
that's right.
The car is well suited. They did a nice job, but really, hats off to Ogara Motorsport US Racetronics, because to come in here cold with a new car, two new drivers, and finish in the seventh position, Jacob Edson and Stephen Agacani. Hats off to that crew.
Point.
They did a really, really good job. I would say, you know, the first time in the series, the team of course got lots of experience running in all sorts of different cars, but particularly Lamborghinis in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series over the last several years, had a lot of success there. But to come here with Mercedes very little testing. Jacob Edson only drove that car for the first time last week in a shakedown test at Button Willow.
Wow.
So that was a remarkable performance, I think, by those two to come away with a top seven finish. Yeah, they were little ways behind the top six, but still, they were ahead of a lot of very good cars, as you suggest.
Steep learning curve, very much so. Shape VIR, I know it's one of your favourite tracks as well. And as far as coming back from a disappointment, Turner have run well there in the past with that BMW?
Yes, 1 year ago. Wasn't that the site of Bill Oberlin's record-breaking IMSA win, if memory serves?
Yes, very good.
Yeah, they got the win at VIR, and the next race was actually at Road Atlanta. So if history repeats itself for Turner, they're going to have a very good weekend at VIR and then a not-so-good weekend at Petit Le Mans, but hopefully they can fix that. And looking forward to that track, they've got a lot of relevant information. I do believe, though, that the last time we ran at VIR, it was on the S8M tire, whereas this year we are running on the harder S9. So it will still be a bit of an uphill battle for everyone in the GTD class.
And before we leave Long Beach, as we've been studying everything that's been going on here this weekend, can Joseph Newgarten pull off a miraculous victory tomorrow, at the same sort of miracle that the European team needs up at Cola? What do you reckon, Shea?
I hope so. I love JoJo.
It'll be interesting to see what happened. Jeremy, thank you for joining us. Shea, thank you. Always a pleasure. Good bit of fun, those races around Long Beach. And thank you for joining us on RS2 or wherever you are, have been watching or listening to us. In the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, it was Jeremy Shaw and me, John Hindhoff, and Shea Adam for the last bit of Mission and Post Race Tech. She doing most duties as our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Rob was up in London making sure we talked to the world, and our thanks as always to NASCAR Productions. The responsible adult was Eve Hewitt, and she is everywhere. Join us on Wednesday. We've got a lot going on Wednesday's midweek motorsport, and then it's another busy weekend of endurance next weekend in Europe across the RSL network in sound and vision. But from Long Beach and the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, that was Mission and Post Race Tech. Have a lovely evening. Good night.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.